Is faith a choice? We're going to take a look at John 3:36 and see what we can learn on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you, and we're doing our best to answer them. You can send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Well, Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead us in discussion today. This is Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are answering your questions today. Here's a question from Kim, and this is about your book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. She was reading your book, and you have a chapter on faith. And she says, in his chapter on faith, Bob says that we don't choose to believe something. Rather,
right.
Persuaded by the evidence that it's true, or we aren't. We can't choose to believe. But then I was listening to your radio show regarding John 3:36 and how it says that he who does not obey Jesus does not have life. And I understand that the word there has the intended meaning of disobeying Jesus by not believing in him. But that seems contradictory to me. On the one hand, belief is not a choice, but then this verse seems to indicate that by disobeying, one is choosing not to believe. Doesn't the act of disobeying require a willful choice to not believe?
Okay, read the very last part of that about choosing not to believe. Didn't she say that?
Yeah, so in your chapter on faith, belief is not a choice. But doesn't the word in John 3:36, apatheo, doesn't that mean disobeying Jesus by not believing in him?
Yeah, but she said choosing not to believe.
Yeah, so on the one hand, belief is not a choice, but then this verse seems to indicate that by disobeying, one is choosing not to believe.
I agree. We can choose not to believe, but we can't choose to believe.
Okay, how is that possible? Because let's say, here, what am I holding up?
It's an iPhone 7.
All right, can you choose not to believe this?
No. But I got my eyes closed. Now hold something up.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what you're holding up.
Right.
So I don't know.
So what are you choosing there? You're choosing to close your eyes.
I'm choosing not to believe because if you say, hang on, take a look at this, and I close my eyes, I'm not looking at it. Okay, let me give you an example. In John 5:39 and 40, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me,"
right,
which is a figure of speech for believing in him,
yeah,
"that you may have life." So they weren't willing to believe, and so they didn't believe.
Okay.
So here's the point.
But you can be willing to believe.
Right. Well, let's say, for example, that you are a diehard Republican,
mm-hmm,
and you think President Trump is the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln or George Washington or something. You're not going to be dissuaded, right?
No.
And so you won't go to USA Today. You won't go to Yahoo News. You won't watch CNN.
Mm-hmm.
You won't watch MSNBC. You won't read anything or listen to anything that contradicts your position.
Right.
If someone tries to talk to you, you close it out. You are unwilling to believe anything other than what you believe. To me, that's a naive position. Now, I happen to be a political conservative as well as a religious conservative, but I read things on both sides. I know you do as well.
Yeah.
If you don't read widely, you can't be open to other views.
Right.
And so it seems to me the same is true in terms of our faith in Christ. If we are unwilling to believe in him, John 5:40, then we're not going to believe in him. Unless somehow God overrides our unwillingness. Now, some people would argue the Damascus Road experience that Saul of Tarsus had was God making someone willing who wasn't willing.
Right.
I would disagree. I think Saul of Tarsus was willing all along, but he was extremely hardened in his unbelief, and it took a lot of convincing.
Mm.
And so the Lord gave him the Damascus Road experience, but not contrary to his will. And he came to faith, and I would say there was something in Saul which was willing, even though he was the great persecutor of the church. But in any case, even if God does overcome the unwillingness of some people, the truth generally is you will not come to faith in Christ unless you are willing to come to faith in Christ. You must be open to the truth. Don't we all know people who are unwilling to go to church?
Right.
They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And aren't there lots of people that if you mention the name of Jesus, they don't want to talk to you anymore?
Yeah.
And if you mention that Jesus is the Son of God, they're going to be saying, okay, I can't listen anymore because this is heresy. And there are lots of people who are unwilling to believe.
So maybe we're talking about two different levels here. Maybe we're saying, okay, you can't specifically choose to believe specific beliefs, but you can choose to be open, or you can choose to be totally closed off to even hearing about the evidence or looking at the evidence or searching for the evidence. Someone can choose to say, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about this Bible stuff.
Right. But let's say that same person does hear about Jesus. They're driving down the road and the radio's on. Somehow someone's talking about if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life, and that's what he promises. And the person turns it off as quick as he can, but he did hear it. And it starts working in his thinking.
Right.
And then the next time a Christian wants to talk to him, he's like, you know, I heard some stupid thing on the radio about if you believe in Jesus, you have, and his friend says, yeah, you know, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said, and he proved it by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, which are historically verifiable. And the person starts thinking some more. If they're confronted by the truth, well, now it's not a matter of choice of believing it or not believing it. It's simply a matter of, at some point, the evidence can convince them. But now, normally, most of us do not come to faith the first time we hear that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and if we believe in him, we have everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have to see some evidence in the scriptures. We have to hear some more details. How do I know that Jesus really has the authority to do that? And then they talk about his sinless life. They talk about him raising the dead. All the signs he did in John's gospel, right, mm-hmm. were written to lead people to faith in Christ. Because
mm-hmm.
signs prove the authority of Jesus to give everlasting life to the believer. The more a person hears about Christ, the more likely they are to believe in him.
And you can choose to hear.
Or not to hear. But ultimately, once the evidence convinces you, it's not a choice. If I was on a jury and I heard the evidence in a case, I wouldn't say, I'm going to choose to vote guilty. I'm going to vote guilty if I'm convinced by the evidence. I'm not going to choose to vote not guilty. I'm going to vote not guilty if the evidence convinces me.
Right.
Now, look, I can vote contrary to what I know is true.
Sure.
I think that's what happened on the O.J. Simpson jury. It was kind of a runaway jury, and I think at least some of the jurors thought he's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt,
right?
But I'm going to vote not guilty,
right,
because I think it'll send a message. And maybe all of them were convinced he was not guilty, but I'm not so convinced of that. In fact, from what I've heard from some of the jurors, several of them said they thought he was guilty, but they voted not guilty. Well, you can say something contrary to what you believe, but you can't believe contrary to what you believe.
So let's say you're in a trial, and you're convinced by the evidence, yeah, this person did it. And then you can choose either to now listen to the defense and really consider the defense.
Right.
Or you can choose to just tune it out. And it's like, I don't want to be convinced contrary to what I currently believe, so I'm not even going to listen.
Right. And there is a proverb about that. There's a proverb that says when one person makes his case, it appears to be true, but then when you hear the other side, oftentimes you're persuaded by the evidence in the second time. And that's what a debate's about.
Sure.
I remember I debated James White, I think it was in 2006, and I can't remember who went first. I think he did. But after he would give his message, people might persuade that, oh, he's right. Then I get up and speak, and they might say, wait a minute, he's right. And then back and forth, and by the end of the debate, you might have people saying, you know, I'm not sure which one's right.
Right.
And they may have to study the issue more. Belief is when you become convinced that something is true, and the evidence either persuades you or it doesn't.
And by the way, the whole debate thing, I was a debater too, and the whole debate thing really illustrates how, one, that your beliefs are kind of outside of your control. You don't choose to believe this, so that you hear the debater and you're like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Right.
And then you hear the other debater and now your beliefs have just flipped 180 degrees and you're like, oh, no, now that I believe that now. Oh, no, I believe that now. And so it's like there's always kind of different beliefs operating and conflicting with each other, you know, and so that makes us change our minds too.
Yeah, and beliefs oftentimes change. I remember I was reading some quotes from Winston Churchill. And he said, if you're 20 years old and you're not a socialist, you lack heart.
Right.
And if you're 40 years old and you're a socialist, you lack a brain.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so his point was something like, when you're 20, you're likely to be influenced by the intellectual elites toward communist socialist perspective, which I was, by the way. When I was 21, I voted for a liberal socialist and would have voted for a communist for president. But later on, I came to believe that, no, the conservative position is correct.
Right.
The truth is, our beliefs can change and sometimes change quickly.
Right.
But it's always the evidence that convinces us or doesn't convince us.
Yeah. And so now, are you open to the evidence or not? It's a complicated issue.
Well, let's come back to the passage one last time. John 3:36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." The translation, "he who does not believe," is from apatho, and it means to not be persuaded or to not obey.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with the New American Standard translation, "he who does not obey the Son."
Yeah.
But the point is, the Father tells people to believe in his Son. And if we don't do that, that's disobedience. But that doesn't mean that belief is a choice. Kim herself said, we can choose not to believe. Yes. But we can't choose to believe. Let's say, for example, Sean, you do not believe in communism. You don't believe that's the best political approach. Can you choose to believe in communism?
I can't, no.
I don't think anybody can.
Right.
Either they're convinced it's best or they're not.
Right.
If you don't believe that God exists, can you choose to believe that God exists?
No.
No. And if you do believe that God exists, can you choose not to believe it? No. Just like when you show me your phone, I know you have your phone. I can't choose not to believe it.
Yeah.
If I said, why don't you choose to believe there's a pink elephant in this room? I don't care how hard you try. Yeah. You can't choose. You can picture it.
I can imagine.
You can imagine.
Well, thank you, Kim, for that very difficult and intriguing question. If you have questions about this topic of faith, go to faithalone.org. Search our website for articles and blogs and audio on this topic. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of resources there for you. And definitely send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org.
Thanks.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Is your church legalistic? Find out on tomorrow's episode of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.